Welcome to the Sportscast, October 31st, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes for the latest and greatest in sports. Today we have a special guest. We don't usually interview authors, but this is our first interview with an author, a sports author. And his name is Kurt Sampson. He's written the book about it's called Rowing Back, the Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. And of course, a lot of our viewers and listeners are huge fans of Tiger Woods. But Kurt Sampson, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be on the show again. Thank you.
No problem. So, Kurt, obviously you've written some New York Times bestsellers and everything else, but can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a golf pro, basically. Let me see if I can give you a condensed bio. After I failed as a club and touring professional, I sold widgets for a little less than a decade. But I've been a full-time freelance writer for 30 years now. Roaring Back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods is my 18th book.
Yes, and what other books have you written about besides Tiger Woods?
Well, my biography of Ben Hogan, entitled Hogan, a very daring title, that has done really well. It was a bestseller. Ditto my book about Masters with another crazy title, The Masters, also a success for me. But more on point, this book, the current one, Roaring Back, is my second Tiger Woods book. In 2001, a Tiger book entitled Chasing Tiger. It wasn't a very satisfactory chase for me, in that the subject of the book, after first agreeing to full cooperation, decided to give me zero cooperation. So if that flavors my attitude toward Tiger a little bit, at least I'm upfront about it.
Now, can you give us a brief synopsis about what the book is all about?
This new book, it's more or less instant nostalgia. People were so excited about Tiger's win at Augusta in April. The broadcast broke all kinds of TV ratings records. There's such an outpouring of support and emotion for Tiger after this comeback win. That is a recreation of the events leading up to that that crazy Sunday. That's the heart of the book, but maybe it has a couple of hearts. I compared Tiger's comeback from all his various troubles to other great comebacks in golf. Some you will have heard of, such as Ben Hogan's recovery from being crushed in a car accident in which a Greyhound bus flattened him. And some you haven't. For example, Skip Alexander was a very good golf pro and from 70 years ago, a Ryder Cup player who, in the midst of a second Ryder Cup campaign, that is a regular season in which he would qualify for the team, was in a light plane crash in which the other three passengers died and he was burned over 70% of his body. How this guy came back to play in the next Ryder Cup is an amazing story. I think people are going to enjoy reading about that.
Yeah, you know, obviously I've been following Tiger Woods here and there for the past couple years, and I would have to say he had a couple instances in the past. Would you say that this is one of the greatest comebacks? If you could say comeback is like the right word, of any sports star you've ever seen?
You know, I would say short, simple answer, yes. It wasn't like Hogan's comeback from broken bones and internal bleeding, or Skip Alexander from burns, or saved Didrikson Zaharias from cancer. Tiger's comeback had a different flavor, and I'm not really referring to the surgeries or the DUI, but mostly to how the guy, after his, call it the revelations of misconduct during his marriage, he was an absolute laughingstock. I'm sure you remember every late-night comedian was leading off the monologue with, well, we see Tiger has another mistress. What's that, 15? You know, on and on. If you've ever been ridiculed or made fun of or laughed at, you know how debilitating that can be. And yet Tiger, he has some reserves that are just incredible to me. He never lost focus. He always saw a golf champion in the mirror, and the jeering and laughter seems to have just rolled off his back. It's extraordinary.
Now, obviously, he won the Masters back in April. Before then, were you able to foreshadow, maybe a couple months before, maybe a year before, that you think he'll reach to that comeback moment?
You know, I should have. I didn't. Tiger, after a long victory drought, won the Tour Championship in Atlanta in November of 2018. And I thought, surely this is the end. the guy had a couple of vertebrae and his lower back fused together after all in a pretty serious operation. But he played great there at Eastlake and won, incidentally or not incidentally, winning back a lot of hearts and minds with the aftermath of his win, in which there were lots of hugs by the 18th green with his kids and his girlfriend. So maybe I should have seen it coming. Other people did. I didn't. I was just amazed at how well he played. And it must be said how lucky he was to win.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of people were waiting for that moment because, you know, you saw spurts of him, you know, doing well at a certain tournament, but not winning it, you know. How big was this for him, like, to win the Masters? I mean, do you think he was eyeing this tournament for a long time just to win?
Oh, it's certainly the majors generally and the Masters in particular are points of focus for Tiger. It's the tournament he could win again. I counted up the number of competitive rounds he's had there. It's 86. Now that is a lot of times to be under the gun on a golf course. We're not counting practice rounds and casual rounds here. So this guy knows the golf course better. I think better than any competitor in the field. I don't think anyone else has played this event more than Tiger. And course knowledge is very important there to know, you know, how a north wind affects a putt on the back right of the second green, for example, or the subtle breaks on the 17th green, or where to position your tee ball with various winds and so on. Tiger's got a real advantage there. And as he ages and loses a bit of flexibility and distance off the tee, which is inevitable, I think he's still going to be competitive at Augusta National.
How many more years do you think? I know he's only 43, but how long can he stretch out his career?
44.
Oh, 44.
Yeah, he'll be 44 in December. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, it's okay.
Say again, please.
How much, I mean, obviously he's still young, I guess, in like the golf world, and we see Jack Nicholson compete at a very older age. How much do you think he can stretch his career? I know he has a bad back, but how much longer do you think he can last in golf?
You know, my answer 2 weeks ago would be different. 2 weeks ago, I would have said this may have been his last hurrah, that this was the final, victory of his career. But then darned if he didn't win in Japan last weekend. So, geez, every time I think I know what I'm saying regarding a prediction about Tiger, I'm wrong. Certainly, his competitive fires are still burning bright. It's just that no one is exempt from the aging process. He's up to 9 surgeries now. And this last one was, no, he's had a knee surgery. But the big one, the back surgery, it was so serious and so likely to reduce his flexibility, as I said. Arthritis is in his future for sure.
What type of work?
I'm dodging the question. I'm talking all around it.
It's okay. It's okay because, you know, like you were saying, you know, he's full of surprises. You know, he just in golf, especially in golf, because other sports like basketball, you can only play till like your mid late 30s, and football, like the very same thing. Most sports are like that, but golf is so unpredictable that, you know, you could take a year off. You know, you could take a year off and play for like the rest of your life.
Yeah, golf, I don't know if you're a golfer, but there are times when the angels decide to sit on your shoulders and you can do no wrong. Your tee balls find the fairway, your second shots find the green, the hole gets in the way of your golf ball. It can happen. That was more or less the scenario when Nicklaus won the Masters at age 46. That was quite a bit from out of nowhere. His form hadn't been there. He was getting old, but like Tiger, he was one of these, you know, longtime competitors in the event who knew the course very well and knew how to control his emotions with each every day, no matter what the circumstance. You know, and Tiger's so exciting. I hope he's competitive for years to come.
Now, you told me that you wrote written 2 books about Tiger, right, already?
Yes, this is the second one.
Second one. Can you tell the audience what's the difference between, like, the first one and this one?
I'm sorry, Santiago. I say that again.
Yeah. Can you tell the audience what will they find on the first book and what
– Oh, I see.
Yeah.
My first book on Tiger called Chasing Tiger devolved. As I said, the promised cooperation didn't, in the end, happen. I was looking forward to asking him about the role of Buddhism and the Baptist Church in his childhood. Detailed insider questions like that. I didn't get a chance to ask those. The first book wound up being a lot about the other people in the chase of Tiger. He was, back then, he was so light years beyond the other players, winning a U.S. Open by 12 shots, for example. Just crazy stuff. Fast forward 17 years to, or 18 years, I guess, to this book. Tiger has changed, his fans have changed, and he's not the dominant player he used to be. Still very good, but, you know, you can name a bunch of guys in their 20s or early 30s who are his equal on any given day. Back then, when Tiger Mania was new, he'd attracted the least knowledgeable. No, let's put it another way. He attracted people who weren't really golf fans. They didn't care very much about golf, but they cared a lot about Tiger. I think his fans now may be a little more hip to the game and the other players and appreciate the sport. I don't see – I think his fan base has matured a bit. That's a theory, but, you know, based on some observation of Tiger through the years.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, like you were saying about his work ethic, you know, it's quite different. Have you ever seen another golfer like Tiger, like in the past?
In terms of how hard he works?
Yeah.
There have been a couple of guys – Just insane ball beaters. The one that comes to mind immediately is Vijay Singh. I don't know if you remember Vijay. Vijay just lived to hit golf balls. His caddies had the longest days out there. At the same time, Vijay was very much a workout person, always with the largest entourage on the PGA Tour, with a physiotherapist, a nutrition person, I think maybe a masseuse, as well as his wife and kids. Other notable practicers were Tom Kite, Lee Trevino, just loved to stay on the practice tee. But Tiger takes it to a slightly different level, I think, in that he's such a determined workout guy. At least up until the back surgery, a morning workout before getting started with the golf practice was, you know, standard for him. And one at the end of the day with, I don't know, if I can't quite remember if it was before dinner or after. Lots of weight training. He likes heavy weights and a few repetitions with heavy weights versus the normal wisdom of lighter weights and lots of reps. Yeah, Tigers, it's almost a religion for him, the practice and the workout.
In your book, where would you rate Tiger? Is in your top greatest golfers of all time, top five? Like, how would you rate him?
Certainly top five. It's a curious, you know, the Santiago, it likes rating baseball players of different eras or basketball players. I'll say this, a guy who doesn't get mentioned in the top five with Nicholas Hogan and Tiger and Bobby Jones is Walter Hagen, whose heyday was in the 1920s. Recall that the Masters didn't start. The first one was not until 1932. So the Masters wasn't a big deal for this man, Walter Hagen. What was a big tournament back then was the Western Open. It was the equivalent of a major. Walter won that a number of times, which, if you count it as a major, would give him 16, which is one more than Tiger and only two fewer than Jack Nicklaus. So it's I don't know if I've answered your question too specifically, but
that's good.
Yeah, those five guys are in my top five, and I'm probably wrong. It's a topic we could talk about when we have a beer between us or a couple of them.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting. You know, when I saw him winning that, winning like the Masters back in April, it reminded me of Michael Jordan coming back in 1996, winning that championship against the Sonics. You know, where he retired for 2 years.
Yes.
It had that same vibe.
That's interesting. Yeah, I was all over that event too. The other sport I write about or have been published in is pro basketball. 1 year I embedded with the Supersonics team. This actually was the year before they won or got to the finals against the Bulls. That was very involving for me, since I had gotten to know Gary Payton and Sean Kemp and, of course, the coach, George Karl. So to see Michael come back that way, you know, I have to admit I was pulling against him. But it was incredible to see an aging athlete perform to that level.
Yeah, definitely. You know, to see those athletes come back and everything was so emotional. And to be honest, I can't even think of anyone else but Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. I mean, I have to go back into like the history books a little bit.
You know, since we're talking about golf, I'd say that a guy that you could put in that same sentence is Ben Hogan. His comeback tournaments after he had had such a severe car crash, that really got to people. That got an apple in the throat and tear in the eye of the people who witnessed that. You know, the guy whose determination was such that he was going to he wouldn't say die. It was so. Those three are correct. Are things never to be forgotten.
Exactly. Are you currently working on any new books, or have any ideas down like in the near future that you'll be releasing?
I don't have other than finishing a neglected novel, my first fiction. I'm determined to get that thing out there. I'm toying with other ideas. What would you think about a Phil Mickelson biography? Would that have any interest for you?
Absolutely. He's one of the greatest.
Yeah, and that hasn't been done yet. And
really,
kind of like to have his cooperation. But if I didn't get it, I could still write the book because I've done it before. Because Tiger doesn't cooperate with me.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I don't know or heard of anyone that is very close with Tiger. I know he's very private for like the most part. But you know, most famous people are. So, Kirk, how can people buy your book?
It's on the usual places for book purchase, such as BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon. And it's the perfect gift for Christmas, Santiago. I'm sure you'd agree.
Yes, it is. And, you know, for any sports fans out there that love golf, of course, and like Tiger, this is a good book just to get yourself motivated. You know, and not just in golf, you know, some people that need motivation in life or maybe in work or business or in personal, Tiger is a very good example where you're like hit rock bottom practically and then come back and win something. It's a very good redemption story.
He's in that way. The guy is totally admirable. He has my utmost respect in that sense.
And like, is there a way for the audience to reach you online? How's like the best way to contact you?
Sure. I've got a website called KurtSampson.co, not .com, but .co. And I'm on Facebook. Easy enough to find me.
And you can find the book on the description of the podcast. You can view it below, and you can click on the link, and there you're able to buy the book and read about Tiger. Perfect time for Christmas, just like Kurt was saying. And, yeah, Rowing Back the Fallen Rights of Tiger Woods, a very motivational book, of course, and just see how a great athlete is human just like both of us. We all have our falls. But we also have the opportunity of just coming back and making things happen. Well, Kurt, I appreciate you coming onto the Sportscast.
It was fun. Thanks a million for having me.